Nearly 30 years and 639 episodes after their premiere in December of 1989, it's safe to say that The Simpsons have become a cultural institution. Homer, Marge, Bart, Lisa, and Maggie may have had an inauspicious start, but they quickly became America's favorite four-fingered yellow family. Mike Reese is one of the very few people who has worked continuously on The Simpsons since its very first episode. In his new book, Springfield Confidential, Jokes, Secrets, and Outright Lies, Reese takes us behind the laughter and shares stories that will, well, let's say, embiggen the heart of any Simpson fan. Springfield Confidential is published by Day Street Books, and I am happy to welcome Mike Reese to our show.
Well, thank you. Nice to be here.
So you write that you hope the book feels like a Simpsons episode, a fast-paced, full of quick scenes, stuffed with hundreds of jokes, some of them funny.
That's my plan.
How is a Simpsons script structured? Are there always four acts?
For 25 years, there were three acts. Just like Aristotle said, three acts is fine. And then after 25 years, Fox came in and said, Aristotle is wrong, it's got to have four acts. And it's just to put one more set of commercials in.
Uh-huh.
So we did it, and we've invented a new form of drama. So it's a four-act show, and I wrote a four-act book. And the last act, it's a new thing we've added to the show, and it's a real catch-all. It can be, we can wrap up a story. Sometimes we wrap up a plot line. Sometimes we take a scene that wasn't good enough for the middle of the show, but is good enough for the tag. And sometimes we'll just write something brand new just to fill it out.
Funny always happens in threes, but I guess it can happen in fours too.
Fours, right? Eights, who knows? There's no stopping Fox at this point.
You sprinkle in several burning questions, aptly illustrated by tire fires throughout the book. Are these questions that you're most often asked by fans?
Absolutely. I've been lecturing about The Simpsons for 20 years. I've gone on the road and I've been to 21 countries, Chile and China, Qatar to Qatar. It's the same place, but people pronounce it differently. India and Israel, and wherever I go in the world, it's always the same 50 questions. And I've had 20 years to work out answers to the questions that are informative and funny. So the book is extremely informative, but it's road tested. The jokes have been tried out on about 50,000 people. So it's a good, I'm proud of it. And in fact, since I finished the book 6 months ago, turned in the manuscript, nobody's asked me a question that I can't go, oh, it's in the book. It's in the book. Once you buy the book, you never have to listen to me again.
All right, listeners, so I'm not going to ask any of those obvious questions. Now you're going to have to get the book. But I will ask you, have you ever been surprised by questions? Are there questions that have caught you off guard in all of these interviews?
Well, it's not in the interviews, no. I got to say, nobody really surprises me. Sometimes they'll ask about, I was just asked these questions from Australia today. It just happened to be Australia about, does the cast ever have any resistance? And there are questions that make you realize, oh, it's such a nice job. And it's like, no, the cast has never had a problem with a line. They said, did they ever muff up a joke you loved? And it's like, no, in 30 years, they never blew a joke.
That's remarkable.
Yeah.
So how did you start writing for The Simpsons?
I'd been writing for 10 years for live people and semi-live people like Alf, the puppet.
Right.
And Gary Shandling, the whatever he was. So I'd written for Gary Shandling and The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. And I was working for it's Gary Shandling show. Everybody's second favorite Gary Shandling sitcom. And it was the lowest rated show on TV. And we were on summer break. And I get a call from Sam Simon. And he says, we're starting this show called The Simpsons. Would you like to do this for the summer? And I said, why are you calling me? I don't know you. He said, because everyone else has turned the job down. And that was it. No, people not only didn't think the show would succeed, they thought it was career suicide.
Why?
You know, it shocks me, but that was the prevailing opinion. You know, the idea of a cartoon for adults just seemed all wrong. And, you know, this is the very early days of the Fox network. There had been three networks for 50 years, and suddenly this fourth one came along, and its reputation was rather sleazy, unlike today. And so I took the job, and I didn't tell anyone what I was doing. I thought I'd hit rock bottom, and we treated the whole project like it's a summer job. It doesn't count, you know?
Yeah, and you talk about all the writers sort of sitting around guessing how long the show will last, and the guesses weren't very long, right?
6 weeks. Yeah. Every time I asked, we were in our writer's trailer. I mean, this Fox couldn't even commit to a room for us. They put us in a trailer, and I thought, well, if the show flops, they'll just back the trailer up to the ocean and drown us all, get rid of the evidence. But so I'm sitting in the trailer, I go, how long do you think it'll last? And everybody said 6 weeks. Even though we were making 13, 6 weeks is how long an experimental show used to last in those days. And only Sam Simon said, I think it's going to go 13 weeks, but don't worry. No one's ever going to see it. It won't hurt your career.
And the part that was true was it wouldn't hurt your career, as you point out in the book.
It did not hurt
but
my career.
But the show was almost canceled before it aired. What was that?
That was, you know, when we were doing it, we were the first primetime animated shows in 30 years since the Flintstones. And people had forgotten how to do it. We had lost the technology. All those Flintstones animators, I think, had died or moved on or something. So we were reinventing it. So we wrote and storyboarded these episodes and sent them away to Korea. And we had to make 13 at once. You know, with animation, you can't make a pilot.
Too expensive to just make one, right?
Right. Yeah. And even if they love the pilot, then they had to wait another year or two to get the rest of the episodes. So we sent them away to Korea, and the first one came back, and it was a catastrophe. It was all of Fox got together in this little screening room to see what they had just paid $13 million for. The first episode came in. Wasn't a great script.
Just wasn't funny?
Well, no. I mean, it was... It wasn't a terrific show. It's a pilot, and pilots are never that good. But it was the animation was just a disaster. Everything was kind of rubbery and weird, and I think the director didn't have a lot of faith in the project, so he added a lot of his own jokes, and it just played to dead silence, and no one knew what to say. And then finally, one of the writers, Wally Walidarsky, goes, "Show it again!" So... That was it. We were nearly dead. And then a week later, the second episode came back. And that was a gem. That became our season premiere a few months later. But, you know, it was all a crapshoot. All right, the second one was good. How will the third one be? So we had to wait till a bunch came back and then reorder them and fix the early weird ones. And so, yes, so it was that close to never going on.
I'm D.W. Gibson speaking with Mike Reese about his new book, Springfield Confidential, Jokes, Secrets, and Outright Lies from a Lifetime of Writing for The Simpsons. You wrote something that really stood out to me. You credit cartoonist creator Matt Groening, along with co-creator Sam Simon and James L. Brooks. You said, Matt did the art, Sam made it smart, Jim gave it heart. How did they save the show in that regard?
Well, it's funny. That's in the book. I say, that's the handy mnemonic device, heart, smart, and art. And then the next line, which nobody quotes, is, but that's all wrong. Everyone only remembers the handy part. Nobody remembers it's facile and stupid. It just rhymes because Matt Groening did the art, but he also wrote the jokes and the stories. And Sam Simon was this comedy genius, but he also designed Mr. Burns and Bleeding Gums Murphy. And Jim Brooks is as funny as anyone, but he has a great sense of heart and empathy, the wonderful characters you'd see in his films like Terms of Endearment. So it was these three different sensibilities coming together. And I won't say what's the most important of them. They're all important. But I think the shocking thing that surprised everyone was how much heart Jim Brooks infused into the characters, how much depth of character came in thanks to him. Right. He was the one, he pitched us. We had just written the first episode where the family is electrocuting each other, and it's very memorable and slapstick. And he said to us, all right, you're going to write the second episode. And we said, what's the plot? And he goes, Lisa is sad. And we go, well, that's a great use of animation. And again, no one had faith in it. Matt Groening was smirking, going, oh, you're the guys who got stuck writing that. But then it was a little gem of a show, and it taught people, oh, look, there's more to just... more than just cartoon antics to this show.
Took a Merchant Ivory premise and made it funny.
Yeah.
So one of the most surprising facts is the amount of time it takes to make one episode, 9 months from conception to air date. Can you briefly sort of take us through this, I guess it's a 23-part process?
Well, I won't. It's a 23-step process.
No brevity.
It is. There's, everyone asks, how does it go? And you start telling them and they zone out. And
yeah.
I wrote it up in the book and said, you don't have to read this. And then I recorded the audiobook for the book, and I got bored stiff listening to it. It's just, it's a mechanism. It's 23, it's endless rewriting, among other things. It's, if you write a script, it will go through 8 complete page one rewrites from start to finish. And by the end of the process, maybe 80% of your script has changed, and maybe 100% has changed. And that's how we do it. We just always want it to be funny. We're always testing it in front of audiences.
Right. So what's the writer's room like? I mean, there are a lot of men, of course. I think we've had one woman over the years, right? What's the atmosphere?
No. There's more than one.
More than one. Okay, good.
More than one woman. We have a problem holding our women, though, because we'll hire a woman.
You scare them off or what?
No. We hire women, and then Hollywood goes, she writes for The Simpsons, and she's a woman. Boom, we want her. You know, so desirable. And once we had a woman... She was a woman, she was pregnant and Hispanic, and she seemed to get hired away in like 3 days. Hollywood wanted her so bad, and I think that she got a development deal for the fetus, too. So, but it's a lot of guys, and it's pleasant. It's pleasant. They're always sending camera crews because they think it's going to be antic and slapstick, and we're all acting out characters, but it's mostly people sitting around a room thinking, we need a funny name for an itchy and scratchy cartoon,
right.
And we'll sit there for 2 hours just thinking, and nothing goes in the script till somebody finally says something that makes everybody laugh.
You briefly referred to a controversy over the voicing of Apu, right? Hank Azaria does the voice, and it was addressed by Hari Kondabolu, sorry, mispronounced his last name, his documentary, The Problem with Apu. Lisa actually refers to it in a recent episode, right? What did you want viewers to come away with after seeing that?
After seeing the documentary?
Lisa's sort of referring to the situation.
That was just a mistake. I think we made a little joke about it, the controversy. And the joke, which we thought everyone would get as a joke, was they bring up the issue, you know, to show we know this is happening.
Right.
And then she made a quick dismissive line, like, maybe we won't address that. And the joke being, it's the elephant in the room. Of course we're going to address it. But wow, nobody got the gag. Nobody understood that. Yes, especially Lisa would be the last one to let it slide. I have to say, on that controversy, he made a very interesting documentary. And we not only agree with Harry's points, but we made the same documentary 2 years ago. We had addressed the whole controversy before he ever raised it. With an episode, we had an Indian American actor on the show telling Apu, you're an insensitive stereotype, you sound like a white guy doing an Indian. And then what nobody seems to have noticed is we benched Apu. You haven't seen him since.
Yeah.
We understand there was a problem. You don't see him. So Harry comes out with this documentary, and it's like he's fighting. He's made a documentary to say Val Kilmer shouldn't play Batman anymore. It's like he's not. Nobody's asking him to.
Well, you've had a lot of celebrity cameos over the years. I'm curious to know if anyone's actually ever turned down a guest shot.
Yes, we've spent at least 3 decades, I guess, the whole run of the show going after Bruce Springsteen. And he just says no. He has many ways to say no. We've never gotten him. We approached Eminem quite a few times. We like him. And every once in a while, there have been celebrities who asked to be on the show. We write them apart, and then they turn it down. And that is a mistake. Someone like George Lucas wanted to be on the show, turned down our script, and then a couple of years later, we did a very mean show about George Lucas. And he had it coming. Not because he offended us, but because he made such bad Star Wars prequels. And we were a little hard on George. And the next day, I saw a lot of remorse at the office.
Do you have any favorite guest appearances over the years?
I'll say it this way, which is we've had 800 guest stars on the show. And there's only 3 people that nobody really liked. And I can't say who they are. But it was one actor, one author, and one athlete who came in with a lot of attitude. Everyone else has been a dream.
All right, we'll leave it at that. The new book is, from Mike Reese, is Springfield Confidential, Jokes, Secrets, and Outright Lies from a Lifetime of Writing for The Simpsons. Thanks for joining me today.
What a pleasure.